If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
It's the last completely unnecessary podcast of the summer, September 17th, 2019, alongside friendly Ian Ferguson.
Howdy.
I'm absorbent Pat Contry. What? We'll be discussing the show today, video game news mostly, no pop culture stuff, no movie stuff, really. We're talking about a new lawsuit from Billy Mitchell, the analog DAC. Nintendo Ring Fit Adventure, which looks fun. I just spit all over my microphone.
Yeah, I was wondering why that was the thing you did.
GameStop in a tough place. It's a tough place. Q&A as well. It's kind of a slower week.
Between a rock and a tough place.
We might go for a ride with a 50-year-old in their sports car. We'll see if they want to pick us up. Ian, how was your week? How was your weekend?
It was fine. My weekend was great. Been playing some Game Boy homebrew stuff lately, and
how is the homebrew scene for Game Boy?
Surprisingly quite robust. It's been a lot of fun. One that I picked up, Dongan GB, is actually a bullet hell shooter on the Game Boy, and just from a technical level, it's impressive because there's
no slowdown.
Wow. There's no flickering, no nothing like that. So it's impressive to see people doing this stuff. With the system, they did that one. That was for the 30th anniversary of the Game Boy, so it's new. And then I just want to touch on it because everyone's been asking, and I know you won't comment on it.
I won't.
So, Ash Ketchum, after 20 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 20 years, after 20 damn years, that boy won a Pokemon World Championship. He finally came in number one after fighting for this forever and ever.
Was this like in real life? How old is Ash?
I'm assuming he's still roughly the same age. It's very difficult to tell.
Oh, it's the animated thing.
Yeah, the animated.
This isn't like a real life tournament.
No. Okay, this is Ash. This is the animated boy.
He's like 12 years old or something.
It took me by surprise that he finally won one. I'm going to put him at 14, eternally 14.
He's 14?
Although, I think at 10, in the original one, you had to be like 10 to go out on your own, so he could be younger.
He hasn't aged at all? It's not like South Park where they've aged 1 year and 20 years at least?
No,
he hasn't aged.
But a lifetime of being beaten down has finally been...
Ash never wins. He gets close, but he doesn't win.
So in the Red and Blue era series, he finished in the top 16.
Okay,
that was it. I mean, they didn't give him much of anything there.
You don't think he would improve as he got older or more experienced?
Gold and silver, top 8.
Okay.
Ruby and Emerald, Ruby and Sapphire, top 8.
This is on a page.
Diamond and Pearl, top 4. But then for Unova, he drops right back down to the top 8.
How does he keep getting invited back if he's not competitive?
But then in the Kalos region, top 2.
Do they have opens? Do they have like opens that you qualify for, like World Series of Poker?
I believe there are qualifiers,
He's got to pay to get in.
I believe you have to qualify.
What's the prize if you win these tournaments? What do you get?
Oh, fame and riches.
He uses Pikachu, right?
He does usually use the Pikachu in those. But he always has like Pokemon that are like his mains through each...
Oh, the stages
through each series.
Gotcha.
How many
rounds are these tournaments usually?
That I don't know.
It's like Kumite. It's like 64 guys.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So as much of this cartoon as I watch, and I watch an excessive amount of it, I don't actually absorb or keep any of that info. It just passes across my eyes and then leaves. On September 15th, 2019, he became a first place champion.
This cartoon's been around for 20 years.
Yep,
that's a long run for a cartoon with that like changing at all or that much.
It's changed. They just keep shoveling it out there, and I keep watching it.
You can be watching it when you're like 60 years old, in like
probably
22 years.
I don't see why I wouldn't be.
I'm just wondering, because it's like a phenomenon to me where, you know, this cartoon started with a lot of people are teenagers or children, and they're still watching it 20 years later. It's not like a common thing that I'm trying to think of. Besides like a South Park thing, but that's an adult cartoon though. It's
sure.
You know, that's the only other thing I can think of. Simpsons, yeah, but that's like an episodic thing. Yeah, it's a children's show. That's an interesting thing. What if G.I. Joe lasted 20 years? Would I still be watching it? Probably, I guess. I can't think of something else that would qualify. I guess Power Rangers, but Power Rangers changes up every year now. They rarely keep the same cast members, so it's like a different show every single year.
And this one gets different members, you know, for Pokemon gets different members, you know, depending on which generation the story's running with. But there's always like familiar faces that you'll see.
Okay. Speaking of familiar faces, we got a T-shirt, Ian. That's got 1 week left to go.
1 week,
my man. There you go. He likes wearing green. He likes undersea adventures.
I do.
You go to teespring.com/my-man-cu podcast.
My-man.
I didn't know about the dashes when I did it, or else I would have done it. My-man-cu podcast, teespring.com. And you can get this nice shirt or a die-cut sticker or the mug. You can do that. The good news, Ian, the other good news, I don't know if I, did I mention it last week on the podcast? A certain Super Nintendo guidebook, this is the PAL version. Ian, do you want the PAL one? You want the North America purple one? It's up to you.
I'll take the PAL one.
Take the PAL one
for possibly higher resale value.
What?
Later on.
Oh my god! If you end up reselling this, if I find out that you sold this on eBay, I'm gonna have a check in every month, like a probation officer. I'm making sure the book's still on the shelf. So, you can go to ultimatesnes.com. So the books right now are somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, coming back to the good old states. They're somewhere in the Pacific. Please don't go to the bottom of the ocean. That would be bad for everyone there. Happy about it. And obviously it'll be available on Amazon as well. But just look at the layout. Look at the layout. It's better than the NES book.
It is. You showed us last week. It is much better than the NES.
I'm not just tooting my own horn there. I mean, this was a lot of work for that.
Yeah, the color picks were nice. That's...
Look at the attention to detail, Ian. Mm-hmm. The back of the PAL book has all the PAL box art. Mm. Is that attention to detail?
That is.
I didn't phone it in on this one.
It's nice.
Next book will be phoned in. Next book's going to be phoned in, but not this one. And, of course, the limited edition with the feelies. With the feelies on the cover there. Woo!
Fancy spot gloss.
I think there's only about 120 left of those. There's only about 500 printed for those, and most of them are pre-ordered. So that's good. And only about 500 PAL ones printed, but not many people got the PAL ones. So the PAL ones are going to be the rare ones in the future, I think. Those are the ones I'm going to hoard and resell in the future. Oh, we're going to be at Portland, PRGE, Portland Retro Gaming Expo, October 19th.
Sure as heck are.
And I'll be returning to Retro Game Con in Syracuse in early November as well. Happy to see Rocco the Wonder Dog there.
Woo!
As well. So anything else going on for this intro? Just talk about Pokemon. We're proud of Ash Ketchum.
I'm proud of Ash Ketchum.
We're proud of him.
Honestly, I think Ash can get his own intro.
Do his parents drive him to these events? How does he get to these events?
Don't know who Ash's dad is. Ash's mom. Well, okay, so actually Ash got to Alola, the island region, because Mr. Mime, who's his new dad, that's where we're fairly certain his mom's boning down with Mr. Mime.
What? That's horrifying.
They live together, he goes out and does his shopping, and he was the one who won them all tickets to go to Hawaii or Alola.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, here, hold on.
Oh, I saw Detective Pikachu.
Yeah,
on the plane. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. I saw it on the plane going to Hawaii, and it was entertaining.
Yeah,
it was actually very entertaining for someone who knows next to nothing about Pokemon. And the Mr. Mime stuff was funny, but he looks horrifying.
Yeah,
as a real sort of person
here
thing.
You go. I mean, those two are boning down all the time. Those two constantly bone down.
That's, first of all, she's a good-looking mom.
Pokemoms are really
attractive. Pokemoms? Pokemilf?
Gotta catch them all, Pokemoms.
Pokemilf.
I mean, that's not the outfit of a guy who's just saying hi.
But they don't, even in the movie, they don't know, they joke about what the hell is Mr. Mime, and they're like, we don't know what he is.
No, in this one, he's a stepfather.
Okay.
All right.
We're going down the Pokemon mom rabbit hole here.
He's a sex-type Pokemon.
Okay. Fantastic, Ian. Just when I thought I would dipped my toe in the water of Pokemon. I found a good reason to stay out still.
That's right. All right. So, yeah. Moving on.
Go.
You want me to just... Here we go? All right. So, Nintendo's got a new thing coming out. It's part of their new era, their new attitude. We are getting Ring Fit Adventure for the Switch. So, all right.
I got a reason to use it.
So, if anyone who thought that Nintendo wasn't going to do anything absolutely batshit crazy ever again like they did with Wii Fit, well, they are. They are. They're doing a new workout game for the Switch. This one is an RPG, and you use a resistance ring to control it. So
it's like a hard plastic.
So it's a hard rubber ring.
It's just rubber
or plastic.
Maybe a combination.
And it's used for squeezing and pulling. It's a resistance band, essentially.
Sure.
But in a ring form.
You place the Joy-Con in it. That's a cool thing.
Put the Joy-Con in there, which we'll talk more about later. And then there's a leg strap. So it basically uses this so it has a rough idea of where you are at all times. And the main game is an on-rails RPG. So you'll load up a level in the RPG, and it'll show you the view from behind your character. Walking or running in place will move your character forward on the rails in this level. And
because it senses your leg movement because of the strap on
exactly.
your leg.
Exactly. Okay. You can take the ring and aim it on the screen. The ring has its own sensors in it as well. It's not just the Joy-Con. You can aim it around on screen, and when you squeeze it together, you'll let loose like a burst of air that will be used to uncover things like on the pathways and stuff like that. All of the enemies that you fight are going to be done through basic exercise motions. So it might ask you to do a squat, or it might ask you to do a yoga pose. And based on how accurately and how well and how fast you do it, that creates the damage. That's how you deal damage to the enemies. So there is a long video, about 7.5 minutes, that Nintendo put up after they teased it. They put up a full video on the 12th of September, and watching it actually gives you a good idea of what the game is,
yeah,
but it's also fairly terrifying. It's kind of a terrifying video.
Yeah, I mean, the people performing with the game look kind enough, but I mean, it's almost a meme at this point. The two actors, particularly the guy, but even the female, they look like, this looks like a promo from something like from Black Mirror. It looks like it's so made up to be an infomercial that it's like fake. It doesn't look like it's real. There's nothing natural about it at all.
Yeah, no, it's
over the top. And how, like, guys, look, this is how you get fit with Ring Fit. And the guy in particular,
he's menacing.
His eyes look weird. He looks like, did you see that It's Always Sunny episode where Dennis thinks he's fat and he starves himself to lose weight and he looks gaunt at the end?
Yeah.
And his eyes, that's how he looks. He looks like Dennis after he tried starving himself. He looks on something. I'm not trying to pass judgment. He looks like whoever directed this should have said, this looks off. There's something that feels wrong here. But they convey the information well. It's just is creepy.
There's a lot of evil energy in that video.
It's just creepy between the two of them.
But, I mean, it runs through everything.
But it's a thorough video.
Yes, it is. I do think there would be a benefit, though, of, you know, maybe getting some real everyday
people,
average people
yes.
up there.
Or even, like, even the
out.
People they use on like the YouTube, you know, on the channel, Nintendo's channel. So, okay, so you got the Ring-Con controller there, the leg strap. So the leg strap is important for the running part because you can run slower or faster depending on that. So this probably is way more accurate than the power pad was because of that. Because you can't cheat with your hands to run.
Sure.
But it's a really ingenious way of not having to walk on a pad or a balance board. And you still accomplish a lot of the same sort of stuff. And you can do the same exercise without the awkward board that they brought back for the Wii U, which I almost forgot about, that they had the same sort of balance board
yeah.
for that.
And then you slide one Joy-Con onto the ring, I believe partially for menu navigation. But the one thing that they show that's very cool is it actually, that's how you check your heart rate as you're playing.
Okay.
You put your thumb over the infrared sensor on the top, and it gives you your heart rate. So that's kind of neat.
So, I mean, the graphic style, it's cute and cartoony and simple. You can follow it. So let's some of the stuff, there's almost like a rafting part where you put the ring over your head and you lean to go. There's when you attack the enemies, you can choose what type of attacks. You can do a an overhead press. You can do a squat. You can do a yoga pose. And I really love the fact that they give you the on-screen instructions for how to do the exercise.
Yes.
That's very good because – and then they build it into how effective your attacks are.
Correct.
That's really good because even if you're a beginner, you can still do it. And then as you get better with your poses – you can see the improvement. There's like a direct feedback with the game for how you're performing. That's like that's something you don't think about, but when you're designing a game, especially like an RPG, that's the only way you think about exercising. Well, how can we build it up? Well, more effective attacks against enemies down the line, but you had to build up from that by doing the attacks / exercises earlier in the game. So it's actually a pretty smart way to incorporate that. I mean, from the service, no one ever thought, oh, we're going to have an RPG exercise game.
Yeah.
When they first announced it, it's like, what the hell is this? And now we have an RPG exercise game that... I guess in this, because I saw all the weird overreactions and people slagging the fucking cardboard Nintendo stuff last year. I haven't seen as much negative reaction to this, and I thought I would. A lot of people are like, "Oh, this is a decent idea." I mean, how else are we going to do an exercise game?
Yeah, I was surprised to not see a ton of backlash either. Then again, I'm not out there looking for the backlash. I think this was weird enough that people looked at it and just went, "Huh, all right, okay." And
you can thigh press with the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably I have to look on the market to see if there's a ring out there like this. If not, Nintendo.
Oh, there
has
are those definitely. Oh, exist.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't even know that. I know that they had the medicine balls. They have the bands. I know that.
No, these definitely exist. Someone used
Abguard.
Someone used a name for it that I didn't recognize. Pilates ring. That's what it is.
Pilates ring. What does a Pilates ring cost here? An average Pilates ring costs you about $20, $15. And they're shaped exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Let's talk about the ab defense. That's ingenious. It's so dumb, but while you're waiting, you're still exercising.
Yeah.
But you're working on just your abs. I don't know. I really am impressed by the thought that went into this. I really am. I really don't have a lot of anything negative to say about this. I'm not even being a fanboy. This is, to me, the best fitness Nintendo product out of the ones they've tried. It looks to me to be.
Yeah, I think it's the coolest looking one. I will probably get this. Anyone who does not want to can wait a year and a half and probably get the rings out of free bins at your Luna Video Games locations.
Across
the United States. Because I do have a feeling this will be purchased. I have a feeling this will do fine, and I have a feeling it will rot and lots of people will not use it. But
I don't know about that, Ian.
I think it's neat. I think it's neat. I'd give it a shot.
I think the fact that they tied this to an RPG and how people are insane with RPGs, they will almost guarantee that at least people will play through this once.
Well,
and at least get into a little bit maybe a shape while they do it, while they go through the RPG.
RPG. I mean, it's more in it's a more involved game than we've ever seen for something that's based on fitness.
Because the Wii Fit, with the balance board, there was only so much you can do with a dumb balance board. They try to build in yoga poses with it, but you don't need a balance board to do yoga poses. It actually makes it more difficult using a balance board versus using the ground. So whenever I saw the Wii Fit, and everyone had a Wii Fit, 10 years ago. Everyone had one when they came out and went to a party and you played it. It seemed cool, but even when you were playing it, you're like, this is just a gimmick when you're doing this. This, to me, at least is built off of an existing exercise product, so you know there's effectiveness to it before you get it. I didn't know there was a Pilates ring. I'm ashamed of that, Ian.
Oh.
I should have the knowledge there. I haven't seen one at the gym. I never saw one using one before. So this is going to cost... what is this going to cost? Is it... We don't get the cost wrong, because it means everything else we say is then false, and we know we're talking about.
It's $79.99,
which isn't horrible if the ring itself, something like that technology, will cost at least... they're building in extra sensors, like $20 to $30 probably. So, I mean, probably I'd say a $60 sweet spot for me would be like, this will sell everything. $80, it'll still sell. I think they should have tried to keep the price a little lower. That's just me.
That's 20 for the ring and 60 for the game. You know, I'll have to see how good the game actually is to know if it warrants that. But they did say, I can't find it on here. I think it was in one of the a different article I read.
Future games?
But the... Christ, you threw me off. Supposedly, if you were to play this for an hour a day for about 4 months, you would still be finding stuff to do. So apparently,
really?
So apparently it's supposed to be very long, yes.
Nintendo is going to get everyone ripped playing an RPG. That's their goal. I just like the fact that Nintendo at least tries to focus at least on, you know, holistic health and not just playing games, at least a little bit. I'm not sure how effective it is. I'm not sure, you know, the Power Pad was mostly a gimmick, and that probably didn't get many people into shape. But the Wii Fit might have. I don't know. Do you know anyone that used the Wii Fit a lot? No, you didn't? Okay.
No, everyone I know who had the Wii Fit ended up not using it very quickly.
Okay, well, this is interesting. But do we know about future games using this controller?
No, we don't, but I'm assuming that
Nintendo will maybe make ones to download.
Well, Nintendo's been good about, like, with the Labo stuff specifically, throwing out these weird little mini games
here and there
that you can just download and play. Okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like that with this, where, I don't know, 1 month you wake up and, oh, we added two new mini games to the, you know, program as free DLC. Something like that.
High tech resistance band. That's how it's being described. The Ring Fit. Like I said, I think it's great. Oh, did we mention the bodybuilding dragon is who you have to go up against?
The main enemy is a bodybuilding dragon who they said was directly inspired by all the worst people at the gym.
This is fantastic. What a great idea from Nintendo. This is, I mean, you have to love Nintendo for doing dumb stuff like this and being goofy and just, but they embrace it. They're embracing how goofy this is. They're not trying to pretend it's like something it's not. It's not just, oh, let's just do a bunch of mini games. Like the Wii Fit was just so clinical and non-fun to begin with.
Yeah,
they did, like, there was a couple, like, whatever, surfing game or whatever.
Sure.
They did that. But this on its surface is such a goofy idea that it's like, oh, it's an exercise RPG, and there's a dragon that's an asshole at the gym. It's like, that's just a cute idea to me. So, okay, are you going to get this? And this is launching in October.
Yeah, no, so, I'll pick it up.
So this could be one of the things
right up my alley.
Buttresses the time between major launches and this holiday season. This will sell. This will sell to the maybe to, oh, I got, you know, the hint. Hey, Doris, I got you the Ring Fit Adventure. What are you trying to say? I'm fat. No. You like RPGs. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
We can play it together.
Doris. It's a popular name among the youth.
1958, sure. Why not? Okay. You're fighting nefarious monsters. And you get money and experience along the way. There you go. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to all the Let's Plays. And the Twitch streams with this. Oh, there's a picture. Did you actually see the picture of the dinosaur?
Where was the picture of the dinosaur?
There's a Verge article. He is ripped, and he is wearing a tank top, like, onesie thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He's wearing what Van Damme was wearing in Lionheart in the pool scene. Wow, that's a deep cut. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
That's what he's wearing there.
Lionheart's one of my favorites.
Lionheart's a good movie, I would argue.
It's a solid one.
Okay, moving on here. Ian.
Yep.
Analog. Fine purveyors of FPGA devices.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, they did the Neo Geo sticks and things like that. They gave me that wood grain one way back. They were never nice to do that. So they're coming out with a device to let modern consoles connect to CRT TVs and monitors. They're going in the opposite direction here on us here. So, it's the, where's the website? God, I don't have it in front of me. The Analog DAC, DAC, which stands for what? Digital Analog Converter?
I believe so, yes.
It's $80, but does include all the cables you might need. And this is an interesting...
How much did you say?
80.
Okay.
The most advanced digital to analog converter ever, made for experiencing video game history. That's from the site. Every aspect of DAC is designed for the most discerning enthusiast. Eye-opening analog video. It's just funny for me to say that. High-fidelity audio. Forget about mod kits and wiring hacks. DAC is plug-and-play and produces reference-quality analog outputs, reference quality, analog outputs. And then they talk about like reference quality on a CRT or and a PVM for those people that are insane that have to have the PVM monitors, you know, for the highest possible quality. There's people that are out there that love those things.
Oh, yeah.
But they're expensive and they're not easy to come by necessarily. Yeah. Okay. So that they tote its compatibility with their own products, the Mega SG, the Super NT, future analog products. Can you please do another a run of mini NTs? I'm really sad I didn't get a mini NT. I'll buy a mini NT if you do more. Compatible with CRT only peripherals. Works with light guns. Compatible with 32X. Requires Mega SG and 32X cables. And other features. You get NTSC and PAL, RGB composite switch. An RGB separate sync, RGB sync on green. Not sure what that means. You know what that means?
Nope.
Sync
I don't.
On green.
This is all out of my realm of expertise.
But this is an interesting product because usually you want to convert. I mean, with all the latest products and FPGAs, it's to play it on a modern LED or LCD monitor. This is going backwards to do it.
Right.
So. It's obviously less of a... There's a market here, but it's obviously a much smaller market than people that want to play older games on a newer setup.
Sure. This is ideal for... And these people are out there. These sort of like collectors, purists, people who want to use something like... specifically, they want to use something like the Mega SG. They want to check out the new console, but they don't want to use it on an HDTV. They would like to use it on a CRT.
Reduce
TV.
Lag, maybe. Yeah, as well. Just, it looks better.
Just because. Honestly, if you're running the Mega SG properly on a flat screen TV, it should look fantastic as it is.
Sure. So you're degrading it to the proper specs on a CRT.
If you have a game room that is, you know, CRTs in classic style and vintage, I would also assume at that point you'd probably be using an original Genesis. But hey, if you're not, now you can use the, you know, the SG. So I think it's neat. It's definitely a very niche item, but that's what they do, and they do well. So
yeah,
I know it's filling a market out there somewhere,
and it's good for like the NES Super Nintendo Classics and the Genesis Mini as well.
Yeah,
if you have a game room, you have the CRT over there. It's like, well, I want to have this be as close as possible to using the original stuff. This will get you there, I suppose. I'm just surprised this came out, because I never thought about that. I'm like, well, okay, what if you want to do the, you know, the Genesis FPGA system, the Mega SG on TV? I never crossed my mind. Some people would do that, and I guess your option before was just to do a crappy HDMI to analog, just cable converter, and obviously that induces lag. It's not going to look as good.
They're gross. They look awful.
They're gross.
They're gross.
Straight up. And $80 is a reasonable price for something like this to me, not knowing what else in the market's out there for something like this, since I didn't really think about this solution, but it makes sense. Yeah, that's all to say. And it's an FPGA as well. So they're rewriting that. how to make that digital signal analog. So there you go.
Well, it ain't for me, but someone's going to want it.
Yeah, but maybe it could be.
It's pretty cool.
Maybe this could, for some people out there, this could be this could be their dream item if they have a CRT game room. This could be it. It's like, okay, I can play anything forever, you know, until the end of time. I can put my PS4 on a CRT.
People do, and it
do
looks
really?
Awful. Yeah.
If you do that, well, I guess it'll make it 16:9. It'll interpret as a 16:9 on analog. Someone will do that now, though. Someone will put these systems on just a CRT just the hell of it with this, I guess. Okay, that's all I really have to say about this. I'm not the market for this. I don't know how many they're going to sell, but obviously they do the research and they know there's people out here that want them. The video files, Ian, that want that perfect look to all their games. They want the perfect hue of green, red, and blue. This is for them, I guess, right? All right. Ian, we have Billy Mitchell back in the news. We talked about this in the podcast before.
Billy Mitchell, Billy boy.
So we talked about, was it last year where his records were stripped from Twin Galaxies and the Guinness Book because they worked off Twin Galaxies and he was Pete Rosed out of the Twin Galaxies. He was banned because it was found that his records may have been tainted.
Yeah, so all of his records were stripped after, you know, two were found to be illegitimate, Twin Galaxies and Guinness World Book of World Records. He's threatening legal action now. He sent a letter from a Polygon article here. This week, lawyers for Mitchell sent a letter to Twin Galaxies and Guinness World Records demanding that both retract their claims against Billy Mitchell and restore the scores to their world record leaderboards, where Mitchell has been a fixture since the early 1980s. Attorneys made the same demand of Guinness World Records, which uses Twin Galaxies as its source.
So this goes back to when people, sleuths, realized that he was playing on MAME machines instead of, allegedly, instead of a real Donkey Kong board.
Yes.
And then they did an investigation. They brought in other people who agree with the findings.
So this is not to say that every score he's ever had is wrong, or that he doesn't have the ability to do this. I personally, it's not an accusation of cheating, but if there are certain systems in place, if there are things that are in place, you have to do it this way. It seems weird to try to any amount or any effort to shirk that would be
would be
cause for me to raise eyebrows. Why would you risk it? Why would you risk playing on MAME?
How could you not know if you're an expert playing this game since 1981? How do you not know you're not playing on an original ROM board? You should know that playing it.
Right.
I think you'd have the instincts to know that, or how it looks. And again, why is this important, MAME versus not? Because you can stitch together gameplay sessions with MAME. That's one of the huge reasons why. There's a way to stitch together gameplay sessions.
Sure.
So you could say this is the perfect game. There's rewind features and things like that in order to do that. So that's what's so troubling about this. The two scores that Twin Galaxies determined were not set in original arcade hardware. One was the 1,047,200 shown in the climactic moment of King of Kong. So that's even worse. That's in a major documentary that tons of people have seen. When Mitchell snatches back the world record from rival Steve Wiebe, with the videotape submission set in the last moment. One of the scores thrown out, although Twin Galaxies made no determination as to its source platform, was 1,062,800 set on July 31st, 2010. And previously acknowledged as the first million-point game in Donkey Kong history. So, Twin Galaxies, I guess, knew that their integrity was at stake. They had, to them, firm evidence, not just through their people. They brought in outsiders to determine, let's toss this out. So, I guess he wants to be back in. He wants to force them to retract their statements, and is threatening a lawsuit. This is a tough lawsuit.
It's a dumb lawsuit. It's a lawsuit from a man who has an ego problem and can't just let things go.
Well, I mean, it has nothing to do with the fact that if you can replicate your scores, it doesn't mean originally it still wasn't against the rules. So,
right.
That doesn't prove it, because I know he's now streaming himself playing these games again and trying to get back these records. What you're trying to say in suing is that you want to sue this private organization because you felt what they did was wrong, and so it's going to be their word of experts against whatever experts you bring in, and that's it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's not a defamation. It can't be defamation if what they're saying is true. If they thought you cheated, that's not defamation. It's it. We think you cheated. You're out. So you can't sue for that. That's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
Because then you have to say that all their experts were lying and that everything was being lied about and they knew it. That's never going to happen.
A lot of people seem to think that it's for another 15 minutes worth of fame. Apparently that the scores he's trying to get reinstated aren't even competitive anymore. It's literally just to keep himself in the news. He's just trying to stir up drama so he can sell merch at cons. It seems like it's more of a, he wants to keep his name in the... in that area, but I don't know what he's really trying to accomplish here. Because what's the end goal, really, if he gets them reinstated?
If he gets reinstated, he'll say, oh, so I'm vindicated. I never should have been thrown out. But there's still going to be all the people that said, okay, we think you're a cheater. We shouldn't, you know, this is, you just strong-armed them with a lawsuit.
Right.
Because they didn't want to defend it here. It was a 156-page package of counterclaims, signed statements, and other materials presenting Mitchell's side of the case. One of the allegations from Mitchell's was that Twin Galaxies did not provide Billy Mitchell a fair opportunity to provide evidence to prove his innocence, and that specific evidence was accepted while evidence of equal stature was rejected. Can you imagine being on this civil case if you had jury duty and you got to listen to like arcade experts and learn about MAME, and you're like, you know, you're like a 75-year-old grandmother, and you got to deal with this. And you're like, what is going on here? Why is this in the court system? What are we talking about here? We're talking about arcade records and an emulator. What? This would be a nightmare if I was on a jury.
So apparently Guinness did make an error and stated that all of his scores were made using MAME. They're gonna have to probably retract.
Oh
that.
Yeah, they, okay.
That's yeah. The Guinness people don't inaccurate.
The Guinness people don't know shit about video games. They're waiting for the next, they have those you know the large twins on little motorbikes. They got to go out and find. Remember that picture? Everyone saw that picture in their old Guinness book of world records. There, that's an error. They can retract that. That's fine. But again, their records are still built off of Twin Galaxies. So if Twin Galaxies, you know, X's out the ones they feel are bad, they X them out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom line there. If you go to Reddit, you can see all the documents there as well. And, of course, I think people are laughing at there was, like, a picture of Billy with all the models around him. And that was, like...
Yep, that's, like, the cover page for his evidence package.
Suit. Wow. Jace Hall responded? Jace Hall responded.
What did you say?
Jace Hall responds? Oh, no, that was a post from last year talking about what's going on with the summary decision. Now you're gonna drag poor Jace Hall. You know, Jace Hall, he thinks he's buying this Twin Galaxies little site just to keep track of stupid world records that, like, 12 people care about in the grand scheme of things. You know, maybe a record for, you know, the best APB run or and now he's going to deal with potential lawsuits about this stuff. I mean, poor Jace Hall. I don't know anything about Jace Hall, but I wouldn't be. That's a bad investment, Mr. Hall. I don't know where you're making your money on Twin Galaxies at this point. I guess you got to pay to submit scores. Is that what you have to do on Twin Galaxies now? I don't
think so.
I thought I heard about that.
I'm fairly certain you don't have to do that.
Twin Galaxies. How do I submit? You got to log in and register here. That's what I heard. I don't know. How do you make money on Twin Galaxies running this site? How do you stay afloat?
I couldn't tell you. That's a different conversation.
Okay. Oh, they did talk about Ash winning the Pokemon League on Twin Galaxies. I guess it's an old game news site now.
Okay, good.
So they got their priorities right. All right, so this is what I think is going to happen. I think Twin Galaxies will hire their own lawyer and just be like, okay, I don't think there's cause here. Get it dismissed. A lawyer is going to look, a judge might look at this and be like, what is this? What are you arguing about? And maybe a judge will just be like, get the hell out of here. just get out.
Just leave.
I got a vacation to go on. This isn't real to me. There's 2 weeks. They gave him 2 weeks to issue a retraction, or we will resort to legal recourse. This could go on. Something like this could go on for years, potentially, back and forth, stuff like this. So this could just get tied up. Billy could end up using all his hot sauce money on his lawyers. I don't know. Here, this might be bad. Guinness will retract though because they don't have a leg to stand on probably that. But Twin Galaxies can probably, looks like they can go toe to toe if they really want to. All right, we'll see what happens there. This is like the silliest stuff ever to me at this point. Ian, don't ever sue anyone over a future record you might get in an arcade game. Don't end up doing that.
Wasn't planning on any of that.
Okay. Ian, are you still using one of the big wireless providers in 2019? Have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Have you, Ian?
I am now.
Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you've been taken advantage of, Ian, because they know you'll pay for it. Well, enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. It's less overhead. No stores in the mall to worry about. You know, that all goes into the cost. So they're saving on retail locations and overhead, and they pass the savings on to you. So Mint Mobile, Ian, uses actually the T-Mobile towers.
Oh,
they
see.
Have the T-Mobile network. So it's a national network. So this is how it works. And this is how they can cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, and then you choose Your data plan. You can choose between 3, 8, and 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. So you don't have to pay for unlimited data, and that's how they keep the cost down as well, because most people don't need that. You use your own phone with the Mint Mobile plan, and you keep your same phone number along with your existing contacts. So what you need, though, is you need your own phone. It has to be unlocked, meaning you own it, and it has to be a GSM phone. So if you own your phone and you don't know if it's unlocked or not, you can call your provider to find out there if you're still on their plan. So how do you get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door? They'll ship you the SIM card and the activation code. It takes like 5-10 minutes to set up. Go to mintmobile.com/CU podcast. That's mintmobile.com/CU podcast. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/CU podcast. All right, Ian. GameStop is in a tough place. And that's as of me saying that. You know who's saying that, Ian? Not just random people on YouTube.
Dr. GameStop.
That's GameStop CEO, George Sherman.
George Dr. GameStop Sherman.
Auto parts guy, George.
Says the company is in a tough place and needs to make some changes to keep up with the video game industry.
See them changes. Wake up in the morning and get my ass myself.
Stuff did not go well for them. 14.3% global sales dropped 14.3% to $1.3 billion in the second quarter. Hardware declined 41.1%, which that's to be expected. It's the end of the current
cycle.
So that's not that odd. And then software sales dropped 5.3% as Nintendo Switch titles grew.
Net loss of 415.3 million dollar net loss for the second quarter. One quarter this year.
That's insane. It's not limited. Now you're just hitting buttons to hit buttons.
Yes. We're at the end of a console cycle, Sherman told CNN Business Wednesday. Gaming as an industry could not be stronger. It's us that needs to pivot. It's GameStop that needs to make some changes. Here's the issue, though, is that the industry being stronger doesn't mean that GameStop can be stronger, because the industry, like I said, is changing, and none of those changes benefit GameStop at all.
Yeah, not at all.
None of them do.
The focus to more digital does not benefit them.
More mobile gaming.
Shape or form.
Doesn't benefit. Cloud gaming does not benefit.
I think cloud gaming is probably out of ways to go. I don't think Stadia.
Sure, but any subscription service, Apple, any other way to play games besides on physical media
is bad for GameStop. Yep.
Which is now like becoming the vast majority of way to play games. It just is. So, it's funny because I see people, and they're closing between 180 and 200 stores by February.
Yeah.
Which is still not... I mean, I think it's still over 5,000 stores nationwide.
3,000, I think. I'll have to look.
Okay. I thought it was over 5,000. But it's still not good. So what that means is that they've already identified stores that they know that, okay, we can probably... You don't want to close the stores before the holiday season, because obviously that's when you make more money. But they still know they're not making money right now there. So, all right. This is where it gets weird, and this is where it gets into weird business talk that's just BS. I've been in the business world. I've heard it.
Man, you might. It says 6,100 here. That's up to date.
Okay. I heard it was like between 5,500 and 6,000, but okay, nationwide. And that includes, obviously, the EB Games they bought and whatever else. That's still labeled not GameStop, but they're all GameStops. That's part of brick-and-mortar retail today, said Sherman. Part of being a good retailer is you're not trying to hold on to every store. No, that's just trying to be a good business person. If you're a good retailer, you won't overextend to that point where you have to close up a ton of stores.
Right.
And lay off, over 100 people in corporate. Obviously, GameStop was doing well at some point, but the strategy as a business isn't just, we'll just blanket the world with our stores like Starbucks does, and eventually even Starbucks has to close stores because they're not making any profit on some of their stores. The fact that locally here we had two stores within 5 minutes of each other was unneeded.
Oh, we had one on Midway Drive and then one three blocks away on the corner of Midway Drive and Rosecrans.
Down the street.
We had two in one shopping mall. At one point in time, Vonnie says there was three in the same shopping mall.
That's insane. So, obviously this is a new CEO. We got to give him some time. He arrived in April or May? We got to give him some time to turn this around. But again, this is a sinking ship. There's been four or five different CEOs in the last like few years. I mean, because when you look at it, oh, what did I sign up for? Oh, this is bullshit. I'm just going to go away and just retire. And just thanks for the signing bonus. Now leave. I mean, unless you got to get a vested signing bonus, probably, if you're a smart running a business. You can't just get someone a signing bonus and leave in like 3 months. The fifth leader since November 2017. Five people, Ian, within 2 years. Five CEOs.
That's
within
insane.
2.5 years, really.
That's wild.
That's a lot of awkward quarterly calls.
Yeah. So,
he did work at Best Buy and Target and Home Depot before. But again, those are different spaces than video games. You can't have a digital hammer,
right?
That I know about.
This is what we've been talking about since day one when they talked about how he could, you know, he revitalized, you know, AutoZone. You can't go online and rent some car wax. You need to go buy that car wax.
You can't do cloud washing machines. You got to go to Best Buy and buy a washing machine.
Yeah. Some things are physical that there's always going to be a market for, maybe not in brick and mortar, because a lot of these things you can do online now. But plenty of people will still go and, like, you know what? I need to get something for my car. I'm going to stop at AutoZone Parts Plus, boys.
There's not going to be a subscription service for clothing anytime soon that I know about. Maybe there is, but I don't want people's dirty clothes. There probably is for, like, high-end clothes. That sounds disgusting. You don't want a subscription service for tidy whiteys. You just don't.
Okay.
That doesn't seem like a good idea. Maybe Ian's like, maybe we can build that business, Ian. Completely unnecessary underwear.
Anyways, I want to cap off what I have to say here with just my favorite little bit of
business talk,
business speak here. At the end here, we make no bones about it. The next 3 to 4 quarters from a sales standpoint will be a difficult one. And this is the very end of the console cycle, said Sherman. But here we go. Get ready. This one knocks it out of the park.
I got it. Okay. I love this stuff.
But we're bullish on a rebound.
We're bullish.
We're bullish on a rebound.
That means absolutely nothing, by the way. We're hopeful, optimistic for a rebound. Then they talk to people that know what's going on in this article. Like Joost van Drunen, co-founder of Superdata. He says, GameStop's fate has long been tied to the alleged demise of console gaming. I have no doubt that Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo continue to look to GameStop as an integral part of their marketing and sales strategy over the next few years. Well, that's BS because they don't have to anymore. I think if you're Microsoft, Sony, the only thing you're looking at GameStop to do is maybe help promote new console launches. But for new game launches, you don't need GameStop to do shit for new games.
No.
The marketing is way beyond retail stores when it comes to marketing new games. Joost van Drunen, I think Superdata, a co-founder, I think that's wishful thinking 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Social media, Twitter, influencers on Twitch and YouTube, those are the people that promote your new products for you.
Yeah.
GameStop running commercials and putting out your Sunday circular ad, that's 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's not doing anything.
That might have worked in the 360 era. That's not going to work in the Xbox 2 era, whatever the next console is going to be. So that's silly. GameStop predominantly relies on selling physical copies of video games, which made up 22.2% of its sales in the most recent quarter. The company could benefit if physical copies become more convenient to use the digital copies. That's not going to happen. It's just that boat has sailed.
Yeah, at some point we need to stop pretending like these things are going to be the case. Yeah. Okay, well, yes, sure, that is something that would help save them, but it's not going to happen. So think something else. There's no way to make a physical copy just as convenient. God, the amount of bullshit talk that just comes out of their mouths.
Well, I mean, you have to have a business. You can't just say, you have shareholders. You can't just say, we're fucked. You can't tank your stock price. But at the same time, I mean, you have to just... I think this is interesting that if they're already planning on if they already identified now 200 underperforming stores, that's going to be, I think, the minimum. Because if they have out of their, whatever, 5,000 stores remaining, 6,000 stores, what if then another 1,000 stores don't make up the profit. This could be a lot bit worse. This is when you're already pre-announcing stores closing. First of all, that's bad for employees overall to know that, oh,
yeah,
by February my job's going to be gone, and we don't know what jobs at what store, because they're not going to say up front probably. Hey, they'll probably tell you like a month before. They're not going to tell you now. They're not going to tell you 5 months beforehand when you're going to be out of work. That's kind of weird to do that. Maybe they will for a few, but this could be 1,000 stores by February. And by next summer, this is not going to be just a trickle. This could be like 20%.
I mean,
by
it's never what they say.
It's never what exactly. Thank you, Ian. It's never what they say. The fact that they have to come out and say this to their shareholders now means that it's going to be worse.
Yeah,
it's almost never better. Oh, we silly ass. We only got to close 20 stores, not 200. That never, almost never.
Well, yeah. I don't know. With how quickly things have spiraled out of control with GameStop already, this story is going to be very different in a month.
This is my favorite sales quote from this interview, because even I, in my semi-coherent business knowledge, don't know what this means. If you look at the trend of sales over the last several years, selling general administrative costs didn't move with sales. So we had a cost structure we had to address. We found it unpleasant, but we needed to do it. Is that a fancy way of saying we didn't fire enough people over the past several years? I think that's what that means. Is that what that means?
I guess. I don't know.
Selling general admin costs didn't move with... I think that's what it means. We're slow to fire people that we should have. I think that's what that means.
All right.
Okay, but that's a weirdly weird... of saying it. We had too many people working with us, and we're losing hundreds of millions of dollars now. Oh man. All right. Okay. Anything else to add here?
No.
Okay, that sentence hurt my brain here. Okay. All right, Ian. No tales from the game store, unfortunately.
No.
We can't do the t-shirt until it comes back regularly. By the way, people are clamoring for it. But
I mean, or the shirt could just sell on its own without it coming back.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. Tales from the Crypt, Ian? Okay. But we have a Patreon, though. We have a Patreon, Ian.
We do. You go to patreon.com/CUpodcast.
And what can you do there, Ian, besides Google Hangout with you once a month?
Oh, I do some writings.
Some reading and writings?
Some reading and writings. And you can vote on a poll for a topic that we will cover every Tuesday.
Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. All right. In third place, what type of museums would take retro game donations 13%? We got to cover that topic eventually. We just have to cover that as its own. Will Nintendo ever have a dedicated handheld console again? 30%. And number one, Ian, with a bullet. Most tantalizing video game power-up. Ian, what to you is the most tantalizing video game power-up? I guess that you would want?
I don't know about specifically, but I will say, and I can go into why, as a game as a whole, Bubble Bobble has the best point items and power-ups. I guess they're bonus items that you can get. You can get martinis. You can get fruit. You can get cake.
Cake?
Yeah.
Just fruit, right? Yeah, like grapes and stuff. Yeah.
The cocktails, though, are really what gets me going. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever noticed that, but there's cocktail glasses.
But those aren't power-ups, though, really. The only power-up in the game is the super bubble where you fly around to people.
Sure, sure. They look great. Kirby's Dream Land also has really tantalizing power-ups. You've got big, juicy tomatoes, and then you get cake as well. You get the big lollipop for your invincibility.
But you have to engorge yourself on your enemies to get those power-ups, right? Is that something you can take on? Would you want to eat things?
No, you can just pick those up. The tomatoes are just there.
Okay.
The suckers are just there.
Let's talk about the eating, though, right now.
Okay.
If you had to eat something, another living thing, what would be your line where you're like, okay, this is worth eating someone. I can now fly around or something. You have to eat a breathing thing in order to get a power-up. What would be worth it for you to do that? That you know that you just ate something?
This question seems ill thought out, but I have no idea.
It's not ill thought out. We're now going there. Because if I ate something, and all of a sudden I can like shoot stars out and like kill things and become a superhero, that might be worth eating something to do that. It might be worth it. But I can always spit them out, and they can dissipate and be gone from my belly. We went to a dark area, but that's Kirby. I mean, we're not making this up. That's how Kirby works, though.
I just wanted to talk about the tomatoes and the lollipops.
Did we go to a dark place?
Yeah, we did. You went someplace very dark.
I didn't expect to go there, but Kirby's is a homicidal maniac with power-ups.
But one power-up that makes me always want something food-related is the ice cream cones and the cakes from DuckTales.
Can we stay away from the point food, Ian? Can we talk about power-ups?
It's the same thing. You're really trying to mince fine hairs here.
That's not a fine hair.
And those aren't points. Those give you health. That's a power-up.
Wow. That's a pickup. That's not a power-up, Ian. Power-up is invigorating your soul and giving you more power to me. So to me, a power-up is Mario's mushroom.
Okay.
That to me, is that tantalizing to you?
No.
To grow in stature, be able to stomp on enemies easier than if you get shot, maybe you just go back to your normal self.
It doesn't look like a tasty mushroom. That's my problem.
It's not a tasty mushroom?
No, it doesn't look very good at all. It's spotty. It's questionable. It may have fun effects, but I don't believe it would actually be very tasty.
How about being able to do like quad damage from Quake? You want to be able to like punch someone and like their head explodes? Is that tantalizing to you? You want that power?
I think by tantalizing, we're talking about the ones that you would eat. The ones that...
No, this has nothing to do with food!
That's not what tantalizing means! What is the most tantalizing power-up? What is the most delicious-looking power-up?
Oh, okay. I gotta look up tantalizing now on fucking Webster to tell you what it means. Tormenting or teasing with the sight of or promise of something unobtainable. That's nothing to do with food,
right,
Ian.
People talk about how food is tantalizing all the time.
Oh my God, you made it into food, Ian. You made this into food.
Of course I did.
Okay, how about... All right, now I gotta think of ones from Super Mario Brothers or something. So you're out. Is there anything... Okay, I'll just put it this way, Ian. Is there anything non-food related that would be tantalizing to you as a power-up?
No.
A frog suit from Super Mario 3, be able to swim around easier?
No.
A hammer for Donkey Kong, you can smash stuff?
No.
As a maniac?
No.
It's all food.
It's all food.
Is the power pellet from Pac-Man account, is that technically food?
I actually do kind of, I've always been kind of curious as to what it would taste like. I'm guessing,
oh my fucking God.
I'm guessing probably food, a Nilla wafer. Probably a Nilla wafer.
Oh my God. All right, so we're not talking about like being able to like rip someone's spinal cord out, do a fatality.
I mean, if you want to, you can.
I'm just trying to go out there and decide something other than food, something that gives you more power as an individual, be able to defeat a monster. And you're thinking, I want to eat an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah,
that's your power, but you can do that in real life. You can eat and drink these things.
Which of these power ups is one that always you looked at and you're like, I want to put that in my mouth? And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of power ups out there.
This could have been just, what are Ian's favorite food items? And it could have been the same question.
No.
Don't you apologize to the patrons now? I think this went in a direction that I don't know if they wanted to go. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to care too much, Pat.
Okay. What was I going to think of now? Holy shit, this is hysterical. What power up would I want here? Well, going back to the easy one, if you grew in double in height in Super Mario Brothers, I'd be able to play basketball.
I feel like that would hurt the bones a lot.
Well, no, it's proportionate. He's not just skinny; he's girthy, big Mario. He's a girthy. He fills out. He fills out.
All right.
You know, he's like Andre the Giant. He fills out a bit. You know, my this is a thing. My ex said, I said to my ex one time, because my ex was like just 2 inches short. 3 inches short. I said, what if I was like 6'2", instead of being like 5'10"? And she was like, yeah. So if I was like, you know, Mario height, that could help in certain areas. Super Mario height. How tall is Super Mario though? Is he like 5'5", and then when he's mini Mario, he's like 3'4" or so? Was there an official stat on that?
We're looking
on it.
5'1", 5'1".
That's official? That's as tall Mario.
This is apparently how they scienced it out.
They scienced it out with the pixels?
Yeah, that's
that was like a Vsauce thing, it sounds like. Well, there's Mario behind you. And to me, that's mini Mario, the one behind you. He's like three and a half feet tall there. Anything from Mario Kart? You want like a spiny shell that someone you hate that's successful, you can just like toss it and it obliterates them across the world? No? That wouldn't be a cool power-up to have?
Yeah, Mario's 5 feet, 15 squares tall. Each square is about 4 inches.
Did you ignore what I just said? No?
Sorry, we were trying to figure out that as well.
You don't want something like that? Something like so outlandish? We're dealing with cocktails and cake? Really, Ian? Are you hungry, Ian?
Rosalina is like twice as tall as Mario.
Do you need a Flex Pro meal right now? FlexProMeals.com. Use promo code CEOPodcast at 20%.
No, I'm going to eat after I leave.
Okay. All right. This threw me off. Now I'm thinking of power-ups. You don't want fireballs, at least? You don't want to be able to, like, toss fireballs at things?
No, no. I wanted to know what power-up looked the most appealing.
Oh, my God. That's not what wasn't the question. Okay, then. Well,
you're just going to lose Patreon subscribers, like,
Patreon.com/CU Podcast, and Ian can, in the future, answer questions about what he wants to put in his mouth.
We've got a Q&A here on this podcast.
Okay, Ian.
So, this one does not say who asks, so I'm going to ask.
Oh, they do. It's right there. Lewis JFC.
No, it doesn't say Ian ask or Pat ask is what I'm saying.
Oh.
So, Lewis Cox, Lewis JFC here, wants to ask us, we think companies that specialize in limited physical releases like limited run encourage scalping? Patrick.
Okay. And then there's a two-part that we can get to as well.
Well, yes. And then someone else wrote in talking about how they see people on Twitter complaining about how they can't order X from limited run games because they don't have a because they cap limits and stuff like that. But when you look at the LRG website, the game is by no means sold out. I think limited run games suffers at this point from a handful of misconceptions.
Sure.
Some rooted in how things used to be.
Business practices?
Yeah.
I had a question. The way I learned about this stuff is I asked them at this point, wow, it was like 2 years ago, more than that, where I talked to the founders, Josh and Doug, directly, and I had questions about their business practices, and they told me things that made sense. So the problem when you're doing games like this is that when you go to get the rights to these properties, it's not just like a blanket, well, here's $500, you can make however many games you want. You're getting charged on the quantity. Yep. They want a direct return on the amount that you're producing, not the amount that you're selling, the amount of games that you are producing, whether or not you sell them. So that creates an inherent risk involved. So if I have a small business, and Limit Run has grown, but they're still a smaller business in the grand scheme of things, it can be a real risk for me to say, well, I don't know if I can sell 10,000 games or 1,000, so I'm going to buy the rights from you to do 10,000. Then what if you don't sell most of those games? You're screwed. You're screwed. Your company could potentially go under or be in trouble. You may have to pay your invoices and your bills. You may have to fire someone. So, yes, when you go limited, you are hedging your bets on your risk of if you can sell your products. And, yes, it does create a built-in audience that will try to scalp. But that's just how the nature of limited stuff is, for whether it's Nintendo products or a company like Limited Run. So you can't say Nintendo is creating scalpers. Well, in some aspects, they should have realized better that certain stuff should have sold better and created more like the NES Classic. But Nintendo is not Limited Run. Nintendo can take calculated risks that a smaller company like Limited Run potentially can't. And that's just the bottom line. I'm not holding their water. That's just how business works.
As far as the second part goes, the one about people saying that they can't order something, I've fallen victim to that too. Was a time with Limited Run, especially with some of the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 and Vita stuff, where you had to wake up and you had to order it. There was a certain number of units, and if you didn't get it, that was it. You were screwed. With the Switch stuff, though, they've done an open pre-order system. So, like, for instance, if you want River City Girls, you can still go and order River City Girls. It's in pre-order. They're not going to run out of copies that you can buy. And then when, you know, they do the
print run, they'll just cap it at the end.
They'll cap it at the end and you'll get it. So they've been doing that for a while, but I think I do seem to run into some people that think, you know, that's still how it is. It's still the way it is, the way it was with the PlayStation 4 stuff. And that, you know, if you want a copy, you can't just, I guess, quote unquote, walk up and get one. Well, you can. You have 2 weeks to do that now. I also understand, and I know a lot of the people there, I like Limited Run Games. I've never liked the name. I think a lot of people get to the name and immediately get turned off and think that, you know, it's
sure.
When you say something like Limited Run, especially in the collector world, yes, it has a connotation, but I don't think that their business practices actually really encourage anything like that.
Because now it's not all Limited Runs anymore. One more. That's it.
So,
and there's been other companies, I think two or maybe three, that have tried to do the same thing with limited names. I think like Strictly Limited Games. So they're trying to do the same.
Special Reserve is another one.
Yeah, so they're trying to do the same thing. But, you know, I give Josh and Doug and the rest of folks credits because they took a pretty sizable risk on those first games. Like, it was not a small risk to do this. So to be critical, like, well, they should have just made more. What if they made the more they didn't sell? There would be no limited run games years later.
Yeah.
They would have been cut off at the knees before they even got to walk, before they even could crawl. They'd be done. So, like I said, I don't agree with 100% of the stuff. Like, I really wish they did more games like I told Josh after the fact when they sold out so quickly on the night traps. I said, oh my God, you could have sold double the amount. Like, if you had told me, how many you were producing, you could have sold more. But it's like, yeah, there's risk built into this business. It just is. There's not a lot of businesses doing this for a reason, I think. It's not that simple to do this stuff and to calculate what we can do. But more with more open, pre-orders, that then everyone wins when those happen there. So, okay. Is that it for the CU podcast?
That's it for this CU podcast.
This is a short one, no?
Yeah.
You know what's limited right now?
Your patience.
No.
Oh, the t-shirt.
Where do you go for that, Ian?
Go to teespring.com/my-man-CU podcast. CU podcast.
Wow. Okay. We got through that. and you got a week left. You got until, is it next Tuesday or next Wednesday? When do you have until there?
1 week's left. I'm looking it up right now.
1 week's?
Yeah.
It's been 1 week's. Since you can buy the shirt, go to Ultimate SNES.
8 days, 12 hours, 19 minutes, and 0 seconds as of right now.
So the end of next Wednesday. And then you can go to UltimateSNES.com. You can pre-order a certain Super Nintendo guidebook. North America, the PAL version that Ian's going to scalp. Or the special edition one, which are limited. And how many are left, because I didn't want to be able to produce more than that. I wanted to keep it special. And the NES ones, the NES book's back in stock, Ian.
Oh! Well.
Could you have faked that enthusiasm? I couldn't even
back.
I didn't even know what letter that was.
Holy shit, it's here again. Happy days are here again.
That was interesting. Are you gonna go home and have a martini with some side of pie, cake, and berries?
No, I probably will have a Flex Pro meal.
You have a Flex Pro meal?
I probably will have a Flex Pro meal.
They improved the turkey burger. Did you have the turkey burger recently in the new location?
No.
It's better.
Oh.
It is. I'm not just pumping it up. It's better.
The new meatloaf has got me pretty
good. I haven't had the meatloaf in a while. It's been a while.
It's very good.
It's pretty good?
Yep, I like it.
And the good old, the baked fish and chips is good. I like the fish. It's a nice solid staple. You don't feel guilty eating the fish and chips. FlexProMeals.com. Code CU Podcast. Save there. All right, and anything else going on here? This is your podcast?
No.
This is a short one. We like 8 topics?
We did it. All
right. We will see you in a week.